Amen. Don't ever lose the wonder. Let me just give you a whole bunch of scripture right off the bat. There's a lot of scripture in today's passage, because sometimes if I aren't quite sure what to write or what to say, the Lord just gives me scripture upon scripture upon scripture, and that teaches better than anything else. So let's start with that. Exodus 15:11. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders? Psalm 19:1, the heavens keep telling the wonders of God, and the skies declare what he has done. Psalm 34, verses 9 and 10, worship in awe and wonder. All you have been made holy, for all who fear him will feast with plenty. Even the strong and the wealthy grow weak and hungry, but those who passionately pursue the Lord will never lack any good thing. Luke 5:26, everyone was gripped with great wonder and awe as they praised God, exclaiming, "We have seen amazing things today." Hebrews 12:28, therefore let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. Psalm 33:8, let the earth fear the Lord, let all its inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Psalm 68:35, you, God, are awesome in your sanctuary. The God of Israel gives power and strength to his people. Praise be to God. Acts 2:43, we talked about this last week. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs done and performed by the apostles. Finally, Deuteronomy 10:21, he is your praise and he is your God, who has done for you these great and awesome wonders that eyes have seen. Isn't that awesome? Today, I want you to focus your heart on the amazing awe and wonder and power of our God. It's kind of easy in our culture and in the way we're set up here in the West to kind of take it for granted. Let's look at it this way. We have one of the wonders of the world, seven wonders of the world, 30 minutes down the road. People come from all over. The Roberts family last night, we went to Niagara Falls. And we're like, Niagara Falls. Meh. Right? We as Christians kind of can go, meh. When God's moving, when the power of God is right in front of us, when the beauty of his creation is right in front of us. So today I want to start building this platform of awe and wonder of exactly who God is and what he's done for us. And that will help build us a new culture of worship. Wandering about the wonder of God is always worthwhile. In the very first chapter of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, it provides a distinct beginning for marveling at the Lord Almighty as he intricately weaves something out of nothing. In Genesis 1, verses 1 and 2, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Now, note the bleak descriptor before God moves and acts. Formless, empty, darkness. In the midst of that void, that incredible void that we can't even comprehend because we are living in the world, in the midst of that void, Holy Spirit is hovering above the waters, waiting for the great I Am to speak the word and to paint the picture of a vibrant and incredible totality with his awesome power. There are three ways I'm going to challenge you today to take in and always remember the wonder of the Lord Most High, of Yahweh, of the King of the universe. The first one is the wonder of glory. Through the earth and its fullness is a glorious, or though the earth is, I'm sorry, though the earth and its fullness is a glorious sight to behold, it always points back to the Creator, the CEO of the universe. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge, wrote David in Psalm 19. So we believe that the universe reflects the glory of God. But what exactly is this glory that should be stirring up a sense of wonder in us? John Piper used Isaiah 6:3 as a springboard to try to decipher this. And he said, "Intrinsically holy, and the whole earth is full of His glory, from which I stab at a definition by saying, the glory of God is the manifest beauty of His holiness. It is the going public of His holiness. It is the way He puts His holiness on display for people to apprehend. Not just see it, not just experience it, but apprehend, to grab it, to grab hold. So the glory of God is the holiness of God made manifest. The beauty that we see in the world is God's holiness coming to life. And let's look at that noun, glory. I get to be a Bible nerd, right? The whole earth is filled of His glory. More than 150 times, the Hebrew word is translated with glory. But this is one of the 32 times that it is translated more so as honor. It might help you understand it better. The whole earth is full of the honor of God. Or, twisting it just a little bit, our perspective a little bit, God's blessings are received by the observant saints whose hearts are willing to honor Him. God's blessings and abundance and power and glory and honor are all around us. We have to open our eyes to see it and experience it and grab hold of it. It's going to be there whether you do or not. But oh, church, I want you to grab a hold of it. I want you to apprehend it. If we had eyes like the seraphim, we'd see God's glory everywhere we look, and we would honor Him for it. That in itself should enable us to think of Him and praise Him continually throughout every day. So when you see an incredible sunrise, like in the picture, or sit back on the beach for a beautiful sunset, the rich colors of a beautiful tropical fish as it's swimming in the power of the ocean, the way flowers and trees reach up towards heaven in praise, the way baby birds are nestled in the intricate nest that mom bird built for them to keep them safe. We can see the glory of God in everything if we look for it, if we teach ourselves to find it. And when we do see it, we could and should honor Him for it. The next is the wonder of the Word. That could be many things, right? The Word, God's teaching, God's law. Jesus is the Word. The glory of God, as we just talked about, comes from His holiness, and it's put on display. Therefore, holiness made manifest is also found in King Jesus. He is the display of God's holiness in human form. The book of John describes Jesus as the Word, and it eloquently brings us back to the first chapter of Genesis with a simple but staggering description of who God is. In the beginning was the Word, Jesus. And the Word, Jesus, was with God. And the Word, Jesus, was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing has been made that has been made. In the beginning was Jesus. And Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. We could talk about this all day long. I've literally have heard hour and a half sermons on these three verses. It's powerful. There's so much to it. And that is why there's so much wonder around it. Through him, all things were made. The wonder of the Word. And that very same Jesus who created the world, who was with Abba Father in the very beginning, loves you so much that he came here to die for you so that you could have the opportunity to live forever with him. That should inspire some serious wonder in your hearts. The creator of the universe loves me so much that he came to die. We should carry that wonder and that excitement in our hearts every single day. The baptism of Jesus, performed by John the Baptist, crazy John, in the Jordan River before his ministry even started, is another incredible instance of wonder. John, who once said that he was unworthy to carry the sandals of Jesus, resisted his request to baptize him. John stood in sheer awe of the Savior who would ask him to carry out such a significant sacrament. After John consented to Jesus' request and baptized him, the skies opened up and the Trinity was displayed, Father, Spirit, Son, through the audible voice of God and the dove. At that moment, heaven was opened and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and aligning on him, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Imagine the wonder and awe of that moment. Cousin Crazy John baptizing King Jesus. And as he did it, the skies open up. Holy Spirit descends as a dove, and God's voice booms from the heavens. "This is my Son, for whom I am well pleased." I get goosebumps thinking about it. Imagine what they experienced when they were there. John the Baptist marveled at the wonder of Jesus, much like the disciples did when Jesus called them to leave their vocations and follow him. There was this carpenter from Nazareth who raised the dead, healed the sick, and repeatedly declared the nearness of the kingdom of God. The Son of God, who was immersed in water when he was baptized, also walked across the water. Wow. This Jesus of Nazareth, this King of the Jews, he is the way, the truth, and the life. What a wonder he truly is. We cannot allow ourselves to lose that, church. The third point, the wonder of authority. It may be one of the most compelling stories of the Bible, when Jesus summons his disciple and friend, Peter, to walk with him on top of the water. We can only visualize the scene in our minds. The Chosen did a really good version of this, so we could actually visualize it. But you can imagine the disciples exchanging looks of wonder and confusion and bewilderment at the sight unfolding before them as this storm is raging and Jesus calls Peter out onto the water. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Chill out, boys." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down off the boat, walked out on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, He was afraid and began to sink and cried out, "Lord, save me!" Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind had died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Oops. That's it. Let me get a little bit nerdy for a second again. Stormy and noisy seas create and bring forth a crazy amount of energy. According to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, an average hurricane releases energy equivalent to 6 quadrillion watts of energy. 6 quadrillion watts of energy. That's 15 zeros if you're keeping track. That's a lot of energy. So much energy that it is 200 times the worldwide electrical generating capacity. This happens in the middle of a hurricane. It's reported that in its lifetime, an average hurricane can release as much energy as 10,000 nuclear bombs. So, I don't think a hurricane was happening on this lake, but that shows you the sheer power and wonder that should be coming from God's creation. And yet, our God can and does still the storm. Cease the waves crashing. Brings the noise of the chaos down. After catching Peter, he began to doubt and started to sink, Jesus stepped into the boat while the wind calmed down. He put an end to it. And then all the others said, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Jesus, who is fully God, has complete authority over the seas, over the storms, over our storms. What wonder, how incredible. And what if we are so stuck in our own ways, in our own beliefs, in our own words, in our own worlds, that we miss the wonder of Jesus and his authority? Just like we miss the wonder of the falls down the street. The Pharisees of King Jesus' time were notorious for it, weren't they? They couldn't even see his wonder because they were so stuck in their ways. Attitude precedes perception. They focused on their rock in their shoe instead of the wonder and the glory of God who was standing right in front of them. The Pharisees are upset about Jesus violating the Sabbath, called Jesus satanic, got upset with him when he did a healing on the Sabbath. And these were all things that were just found in one chapter in Matthew. And then we look at Luke 5. This is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. Luke 5, starting in verse 17. One day Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Big things happening. Wonder and awe. Jesus is healing folks. This house is getting crowded. Everybody's coming from all the towns. Some men carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees say, "What?" The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began to think to themselves. Didn't say it out loud. They're thinking to themselves, "Who is this fella who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Who is this character? This Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus knew what they were thinking, and he asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts?" Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, take up your mat and go home. Immediately, he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. God acted in wonder, acted in power and authority, healed this man on the spot. Who knows how long he was paralyzed, but if you're paralyzed, you can't just step up and walk away, right? Not in a normal situation. Your ligaments aren't developed anymore. Your muscles aren't strong. Your bones are frail. Nope. He got up and walked right away, right in front of the Pharisees, to prove to you Pharisees that the Son of Man can and will forgive sins. Watch this. And look what happened. Everyone was amazed. I have to think everyone included these Pharisees who neglected to see God's wonder. Now they do see it. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." The wonder of his authority was on full display. And it is on full display in our lives as well. We have to look for it. We have to expect it. And when we look for it, and when we expect it, and when we see it and feel it, we get to just sometimes stop and stare. When was the last time something struck you so strongly that you got stopped in your tracks and you just had to stare? Whether it's a newborn baby, or a beautiful sunset. I truly, last night for me, sitting back here watching Westward Road set up, once they were set up and the lights were adjusted and they had everything going, I was like, oh, I had to stop and stare. Like, that is beautiful. I came across a story this week of a young lady. She's a worship leader, and she was telling the story. It just happened last week. They were rehearsing before service, and there's a young girl in the church who gets overstimulated very easily, can't deal with loud noises. She's tormented by this anxiety every time there's loud noises and anytime there's flashy lights, and she just gets so overstimulated she can't deal with it. And during rehearsal, the lights are going, the band's going, and here comes mom carrying the daughter, and the daughter's doing this. And the worship leader stopped and said, what's happening? Is she okay? And the mom said, she wants prayer. She wants to be delivered. So this little girl wanted to be prayed for. So the worship team stopped, and the whole church came around and prayed for this little girl to be released from this oppression and released from this anxiety and released from this torment. And after some prayers, she was instantly. She began to laugh. She began to enjoy the music and the loudness. She began to worship. And then mom started to break down. And guess what this little girl did? She prayed for her mother. Man, imagine that church family stopping and staring at the wonder of God moving in that little girl's life. That is what I'm talking about. That is the wonder and the awe of our King. We can go through the scriptures and we can find story after story about the wonder of God, the creation narrative, God delivering the Israelites from the Egyptians through supernatural signs and wonders, the mighty walls of Jericho coming down, David slaying Goliath, Elijah being carried away to heaven in a whirlwind, all of these stories of Jesus' miracles in the New Testament and the deliverance and the healings, all of these wonders are right here to inspire us, but the wonders are also all around us. every single day in our church family, in our life. For followers of Christ, wonder begins and ends with King Jesus. For the entire story of the Bible points to his life, his death, and his resurrection. Nobody in history inspires awe like he did and still does. He walked on water. He restored the sick. He taught us to love others by demonstrating the most excellent way of voluntary sacrifice for the undeserving. How do we respond to a wonder like this? To the immeasurable love of a kind and gentle and merciful Savior? We worship him. We adore him. We give him glory for all that we do, and we live the life that he intended us to. We pray with our whole hearts, and we do what today's text tells us. Lord, you answer us with awesome and righteous deeds. God, our Savior, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas. Who formed the mountains with your power, having armed yourself with strength. Who stilled the roaring of the seas, the roaring of the waves, and the turmoil of the nations. The whole earth is filled with awe at your wonders. Where morning dawns, where evening fades, you call forth songs of joy. Ooh, I love that last line. The whole earth is filled with awe at your wonders. The morning dawns, where evening fades, you call forth songs of joy. God's authority and power on full display all over the earth does not bring fear, does not bring oppression. It brings rejoicing. That is how we honor the wonder of Christ. We rejoice. Christ is our life. Not only the guarantee of our life in heaven, but we have the down payment of it with the Holy Spirit and the gift of the Holy Spirit right now as he lives in us. He is our joy. His joy is our joy. His love is our love. His peace is our peace. His strength is our strength. These are not gifts moving from him to us. They are his life living and working through us. So marvel at the wonder of it all. Church, don't ever lose the wonder. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen.